Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast brought to you by SeatGeek. I'm your host, DJ Foster. Just got finished watching the Clippers win in Memphis 99-88 over the Grizzlies on a Friday night. The Clippers were up 87-68 at one point. Grizzlies fought all the way back, made it interesting towards the end, but the Clippers pulled out the win. This game was predictably ugly. Anytime the Clippers and Grizzlies get together, It's sort of a slog fest, and tonight was really no exception, especially when the games are in Memphis. It just feels like they always get bogged down by refs, and there's a lot of whistles, and there was a lot of that tonight. There were a lot of turnovers, a lot of whistles, and Memphis crowd was obviously going crazy because they hate the Clippers more than anything, which is kind of entertaining because I don't think Clippers fans really hate Memphis. But Grizzlies fans, man, I saw a thing earlier, just to backtrack, on Twitter of a Memphis barbecue place who made the menu all dedicated to the Clippers. So every item on their menu was like named after the Clippers. I'll give you an example. Moe's Space Cowboy Fried Chicken. And it's for purchase in buckets only. I like that. Doc's Secret Barbecue Sauce. Actually, we just stole it from the guys that beat us in the barbecue competition, is the description for it. Blake's Jerk Wings, so much jerk. CP3 Barbecue Nachos, great to start, but will disappear by the end. And Austin Slaw, a side only a daddy could love. Oh, so out of all of these, not some of those are hit and miss, but Austin Rivers being coleslaw is kind of perfect. Does anyone ever really, like, want coleslaw at a barbecue place? I feel like they always try and shoehorn you into coleslaw, like, that's your side. There's so many other great barbecue sides that you could want. Cornbread, collard greens, mac and cheese, baked beans. I mean, all of these are vastly superior to coleslaw, but you're stuck with coleslaw. Because the people running the show decided that's what's best. Austin being coleslaw is perfect. I might start calling him coleslaw. That might get me in trouble. Maybe I'll just call him Austin. But you'll know that I want to call him coleslaw. Backtracking. Back to the game. Again, Clippers win. Pull it out. Chris Paul was great tonight. If you had to name an MVP of this game, it's Chris Paul going away. No one else is even close for the Clippers. He had 27 points, 11 assists, 6 steals, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, and just 1 turnover. According to Justin Russo on Twitter, at FlyByNight, Clippers writer, he's the last player to hit all those numbers since 2004. And you know who the player is? I'll let you think about it. 27, 11, 4 rebounds, 6 steals, 2 blocks. You're never going to guess. It's Baron Davis. Baron Davis, of all people. B. Diddy. The We Believe B. Diddy. Old Warriors B. Diddy. Last player to do it, 2004. So Chris Paul, obviously a great night. Takes care of business with the whole offense struggling around him. He was the one guy that really kind of found his way to score. And he didn't even shoot all that well himself. He was 1 for 8 from 3. So the Clippers' offensive struggles are starting to look like a very real thing. Now, there's a caveat with that, of course. Memphis is a good defensive team. They're still very scrappy. Playing in Memphis is always tough. You get physical games, a lot of foul calls, a lot of free throws. But the Clippers, 37.6% from the field, 8 for 27 from 3. The issues just continue to pop up on offense. The shooters just aren't shooting. Jamal, 3 for 12. J.J. Redick, 4 for 10 and 1 for 4 from 3. Austin Rivers, 2 for 9. They're just not getting the production from their shooters that they thought they were going to get. And Blake Griffin struggled again tonight a little bit. 5 for 13. 14 and 10 is what he ended up with. You'd expect more from Blake, but this is a matchup that he typically tends to struggle with just a little bit. Again, Grizzlies play really physical. They beat up on you. And even if Zach Randolph's on the bench now, he still kind of gives Blake fits a little bit, and Marc Gasol's a great defender too. So Clippers had their issues offensively. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later in the show. I'm going to answer your guys' questions. A lot of good stuff submitted. People are looking for fixes. How do we get a small forward? What do we do if J.J. Redick doesn't get out of a slump? Bunch of different thoughts going through Clippers fans' minds right now. I have a tendency to kind of narrow in on stuff and miss the big picture. The Clippers are 4-1. They just won a game on the road against, beat up Memphis team. Not quite what they used to be, but it's still a good road win. And they're still 4-1, and probably 9 times out of 10, you play that game against OKC, the Clippers win it. This should be a 5-0 team. So you have to take some of the panic in my voice with a grain of salt, right? 4-1, right on track. No one's gotten hurt yet. If you told me that before the season started this summer when we were just scrounging for content, if you would have told me that the Clippers would start off 4-1 and everyone would be healthy, sure, I'll take that. The way they've done it is just not what we expected. Not what we expected at all. The Clippers came into this game with the top defensive efficiency rating in the league. 91.2 points per 100 possessions. That's first in the league. They're going to leave. I don't know exactly what's going to happen around the league the rest of the games tonight. But just scanning the scoreboard, they're going to leave as the number one team after playing Memphis. They held the Grizzlies to 36.9% shooting. 88 points over a game. So Clippers have been the best defensive team in the league. Now, normally we'd be screaming and jumping for joy, but the offense has looked so bad and so stagnant and so out of character that it's hard to really celebrate the defensive victories. But we're going to discuss that more. Again, we're going to get to your questions, but before we do that, I need to tell you about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit. Whether that's courtside, club seats, upper level. Are there any other seats you can sit in? Plaza? Loge? Super Plaza? That's the thing that I made up. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, and they even color code it. It's nice. I love when I look through tickets and I see the green tickets. I'm like, oh, give me those. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget using SeatGeek. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, and if you're a long-time listener, as long as you could be for a show that's been in existence 2-3 months, if you're a long-time listener and you haven't used this yet and you've been going to games, dude, what are you doing? my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do to get that $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code LO Clippers, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Clippers today. All right, let's get to your questions. JP Manahan, my boy JP, representing from the Philippines, asks, shooting, do we say it's small sample size or is it time to sound the alarm? I would lean towards small sample size. I just think these guys have had such long careers of being such effective shooters, and shooting is the thing that really typically doesn't fade. Even as J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford get a little older, I think spot-up opportunities for them should bounce back to career-like numbers. I do think that J.J. is not going to be the guy he was last year, and I was saying this all offseason that he was in line for some regression after a career year at his age. So the J.J. stuff could be a little bit more real than just a small sample size. Jamal should be just fine and get back on track. He's not going to shoot this poorly from three-point for the rest of the year. We know he can get hot. We know he's streaky. A five-game sample size is not really indicative of what he can do. You can pretty much pull any five-game stretch for Jamal and make him look like either the worst player in the league or the best player. There's nights where Jamal will hit 30, he'll hit 25, and then he'll hit 2. It's just kind of the way it goes, and he's had a little bit of a rough start to the season. I thought last game, or was it 2 games ago, that Jamal played really well, was getting to the rim. The shot's going to fall for him. On the whole, I will say that the way the offense is moving right now and kind of the action that they're relying on, that I would sound the alarm a little bit. The ball is just dying in too many different players' hands. There was a possession tonight where the Clippers whipped it around the perimeter. It was boom, 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 boom. Quick pass, quick pass, quick pass for an open shot in the corner. And we just haven't seen enough of that. For as great as Chris has been, I think he deserves some of the blame here for the Clippers offense not being quite up to speed yet. And let me explain that. On a night where we just praised Chris as the MVP and he's putting up these stats that no one's done in 12 years and all these different things, I think there's room for both of these statements to be true. Chris is playing great. Chris needs to play better. My problem is there's too much dribbling right now. And maybe I'm just like stuck in this coach mode where I want to see the ball move on. But the ball is just dying in too many different players' hands. There's too much sitting and evaluating and waiting for something to happen instead of just being in attack mode and going, or just moving it on if you're not going to take it. Look, the shooting is going to come back. I think the Clippers, for the most part, are getting good shots a lot of the times, but teams are going to be content with turning them into just mid-range contested shooters, and Jamal, JJ, Chris, Blake, the guys who are using the most possessions for the Clippers, are tending to settle for a lot of mid-range shots right now, whereas I would rather see the ball move on, keep going, keep running through the next part of your set instead of settling or just holding the ball. So anyways, that's my rant. I think it's a small sample size. I would like to see more possessions like we saw in that second quarter where the ball is zipping around, they're reversing, they're attacking on one side of the floor as opposed to just so much dribbling, just dribbling out the shot clock for no reason. Next question, T. Ali Mula asks, how do we get the best out of Wes Johnson and Luke Richard and Bob Mute? Won't we need more production from the three to go deep into the playoffs? It's a good two-part question. Yes, the Clippers are going to need more from the small forward position to make a deep run. I think anyone that watched Golden State-Oklahoma City the other night kind of realize, geez, this is how they'll look when Kevin Durant gets hot or when Steph gets hot or just in general. This is how good they are. The Clippers don't look anything close to that right now. Doesn't mean that they can't get there eventually, and it doesn't mean that the matchup isn't a good one for them. But they're going to need something from the small forward position offensively, and it just hasn't happened. And with Luke Richard and Bamute starting, it's not going to. I think it's hard to complain about having the best defense in the league and disrupting that. And Luke is certainly a big part of that with the starting unit for the Clippers. But I think this spot has to be upgraded offensively to increase the firepower. And just from basically what we've seen, adding another playmaker, adding another guy who can spot up and attack off the dribble, or maybe even post a little bit, wouldn't be the worst thing. Wes Johnson, I think, plays better as a small four and is better suited for the bench unit. So I think this has got to be something that gets addressed by a trade. And then it becomes really tricky. And we're going to talk about this in a full episode. I don't want to sell it short. JJ Redick's going to be a free agent. Do the Clippers consider dangling him for a small forward? Can you really pay JJ Redick the type of contract that he can demand next year while paying Austin and Jamal? I don't know. It's really hard. I think the Clippers absolutely need his outside shooting. They need to have someone who can knock down threes consistently and can run off screens and give the offense the kind of player movement that they're not getting right now. But is the fall off from the player that you could get for JJ in a trade bigger than the fall off from JJ to Jamal? Like, I think if you put Jamal in the starting lineup instead of JJ, you could get somewhat similar results. I think he'd take a hit defensively. But I think it removes some of the burden on Chris to feel like he needs to dribble and create everything for the offense. And you can kind of let Jamal do some of those same things. So then you add another small forward. Like, this is a bad example, but because it just doesn't make sense. Denver wouldn't do this. But if you were to somehow, in a three-way deal, trade JJ Redick and bring back like Danilo Gallinari, Chris Paul, Jamal Crawford, and Danilo Gallinari, it was probably a better point and wing combo than Chris Paul, JJ Redick, and Luke Richard and Bamute, right? You're probably better offensively and defensively if you were somehow able to swing something like that. It's just something to think about. It's going to be really hard to trade JJ, and I think the problem is that any team that would want him is going to want him because he's going to help them make a playoff run. He's basically a rental. Like, a young team that's not in the playoffs has no interest in JJ Redick, right? So it's a team that needs a shooter to kind of push them over the top. So they have to be willing to trade back an important player, a 3-and-D type small forward. Those guys just don't grow on trees. So I don't know how realistic it is, but it's something to consider. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to go into that, but I did. It's something to consider, and we're going to talk about that more. Trust me, this is not something that's going to go away for the Clippers. At EdClippers32 asks, you picked Blake Griffin for MVP. He says, so did I. How do you feel about that pick? It hasn't been as good as I expected. He looks off, but I think he gets better. I'd agree with all that. Right now, I think it looks silly because you see what Russell Westbrook is doing. You see what James Harden is doing. They're putting up insane, ridiculous, crazy numbers. But that's all we have to focus on right now is the numbers. We're not worried about the record. Are we going to give Russell Westbrook the MVP if the Thunder are an 8 seed or a 7 seed? We're going to give James Harden the MVP if he's on an 8 or a 7 seed? I don't know. I don't think so. You don't ever really see that so much. Usually you have to be a top four seed. So Kawhi Leonard's looking like a better pick than Blake right now. But I think Blake, when it's all said and done, I think he's going to be in the hunt for it still. I'm not bailing yet. It doesn't look good these last two games. I think Blake's going to turn it around and be just fine. Alex V. S. Clippers finished last season 4th in defensive efficiency and 7th in offensive efficiency. The disparity is bigger this year. Are they a defensive team now? Disparity is much bigger this year. They're going to be like 27th in offensive efficiency and 1st in defensive efficiency after 5 games. We're going to see both of those. It's not going to be as polarizing as it is right now. It's going to meet in the middle. I don't think the Clippers are a defensive team still. They have some good defenders. Chris Paul's all defense. DeAndre Jordan will probably be all defense this year. So when you have your 1 and your 5 as great defenders, you're certainly capable of being a great defensive team. And we need to give Doc Rivers some credit. I always say that you judge head coaches based on how well their teams defend, particularly in the NBA, because talent level and the type of scores you have largely decides how good your offense is going to be. Defense is a little trickier. I think you can kind of work magic and do some really impressive things, like Steve Clifford starting Al Jefferson a couple years ago, playing him 35 minutes a game and having a top 5 defense. Like, coaching, I feel like, has a bigger impact on the defensive end, so we got to give Doc some credit. Through 5 games, he has the best defense in the league. And that's bringing in these offensive-minded veterans, and it's been pretty seamless. The scheme is working. Like I said, Chris Paul and DeAndre are great, but there's weak spots in a lot of the Clippers' lineups, a lot of players that you should be able to attack. But Doc has done a really nice job defensively so far this year. So let's give Doc some credit. I think they'll always be a good defensive team. I don't think defense is going to be their bread and butter. With a healthy Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, they should be a top 5 offense. Just Chris Paul and Blake Griffin together, that should turn into top 5 offense at some point. So I would still say the Clippers are an offensive-driven team, especially with how their bench is composed. Jesse, what's up? Asks, when will the Clippers offense wake up? I'll tell you what, it's probably not going to be tomorrow. Spurs are a great defensive team still. There's going to be some issues. They'll probably throw Kawhi on Chris Paul, because why wouldn't they? And basically with Chris doing most of the work right now, that could slow him down quite a bit. I would not expect the offense to wake up against the Spurs on the second half of a back-to-back, a road back-to-back. I don't see it happening tomorrow. It's possible the Clippers gear up for a big game and take this as a challenge and play a little closer to the version we saw opening night than the version we've seen the last 3 or 4 games. But I wouldn't expect it to happen tomorrow. Portland is coming around. Detroit, they can exploit. So the next part of the schedule looks a little better than tomorrow does. I think it's going to happen. Again, based on these guys' career stats, they're not going to keep shooting like this. Aditya asked, does Doc roll with Wes Johnson or go to Brandon Bass off the bench tomorrow night? I think it's a Wes Johnson game, but it feels like there's been this weird rotation where Bass gets in sometimes. This would have been a great night for Bass, you would certainly think. Instead of Wes Johnson having to guard Zach Randolph, Brandon Bass probably would have done a much better job. So I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm not sure. And then @Clippers asks, why don't you play the NWO entrance song for your podcast? Oh, it's a great mistake. The only reason I haven't switched to the full Embrace the Bad Guy, the NWO great theme song, is because I've had a few reviews on the podcast, and I think some people just listen for the opening song, and then as soon as my voice comes on, they turn it off. Like, I had someone write a review that said that the little bass line in the opening song by Wolfpack kind of like makes their day. Probably it doesn't have anything to do with me, so I don't want to lose listeners or people that are just here for the sweet Wolfpack tunes and are like, screw that guy, DJ. So I haven't done it yet, but the magic of podcasting is that I'm going to do it right now. Woo, that brings back some memories. Man, I just went down a YouTube hole. I was watching Sting hit people with baseball bats. The Clippers are the bad guys. Clippers are the NWO now. Let's embrace it. I think I should probably just do a show where I like rank the 10 best wrestling themes. I would listen to that. I would listen to that before I'd listen to me talk about the Clippers. So maybe I should do that. Thank you guys for listening to this show. We'll do the wrestling themes next time around. If you have questions for the show, if you want a song played on the show, tweet me at Fox Sports Foster or email me at fosterdj3@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening to the show. We will be back tomorrow to recap the game against the Spurs tomorrow night at 5 o'clock in San Antonio. We're going to try and get Jordan Hymer back for that one. For those that missed his silky smooth tones. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you to SeatGeek for sponsoring this episode. You guys take care.
Wolfpack is back, cause a mass destruction. Guess who see it? The bad boys are wrestling. In competition, win the war, that's their mission. Not no mercy, see the rings like the street. If you don't know, you better find out the Wolfpack. Here to prove a point, number one, just believe that you don't want to.